listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth, 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 truth,
truth, truth. We go our own way when we shine the light. We go our own way because we know it's right. Blessings be for the people in the good fight. Hold on, cause it's gonna be using the political and spiritual, melodic to the lyrical, explicit and satirical, but utterly sincere for you. We give it away like the Chili Peppers did, and the Funky Monks are here to repeal the deficit.
It could be good if the people would come together, organize the streets in the hood. It's not a ghetto thing, yo, we're not gangster. Those the devils fronting Wall Street Bangsters.
The Wall Street Bangsters, that is the group that rather than ending the Fed, what we like to say on this program is we don't change an existing reality by destroying it. Rather, we should make a new reality that makes the old one irrelevant. That's by Buckminster Fuller. And our plan is to make a new reality of a network of local, usury-free, time-based currencies across the country. And we're actually leaving on Thursday to start a new one in New York called Island Hours. And they're having a Liberty event there called Liberty Fest. So do check that out if you live in that area. It's for Long Island, but I'm sure that hopefully it'll influence the city itself. And we're going to be there on Saturday night. That's when the event is. Basically, it's Liberty Fest from 2 to 10 p.m., and there's all sorts of speakers there, including Adam Kokesh, Sheriff Richard Mack, Dr. Tom Woods, and Jordan Page, and Payday Monsanto. So do check that out. Okay, we are joined with Jason Bosch, and we're talking about monetary reform and how we bring the parties or the factions together. With respect to the election cycle and what's going on with the Green Party, what's the next big event that's upcoming for you?
Well, I don't really have anything else going on with the Green Party between now and the election. I just had Sherry was in town, and I organized a couple of events for them while they were in town. But I know that they've got, there's going to be a demonstration happening with the vice presidential debate and the second presidential debate. They're going to be demonstrating, and there actually is a third party. I can't remember what network it's on, but there's going to be a debate between the third party candidates, including Rocky Anderson and Gary Johnson, and all of them are going to be debating separately. I can't remember when that is, though. I saw the post on Facebook. But I'm mainly focused on, I'm continuing to do events around Denver. I show documentaries every Thursday at the Mercury Cafe, and I'm just continuing. Oh, I'm also working with the author of New Money for New World on creating some videos to help kind of make this real, like the issues. Because a lot of times when people talk about money issues, it's kind of abstract for them and their eyes kind of gloss over. So I'm making some videos to help, connect it to people's real issues and people's real lives, which is actually why I want to come visit, interview you as well.
Okay, so you do a lot of video editing yourself then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually working on one just prior to the show. We had an End the Fed event late last month, and the concept for the video was I just wanted everybody to say in one sentence why they wanted to end the Fed, like just a real quick, not a history lesson. Just what it means to them, really quick and viscerally. So it was really interesting. I did it with maybe 30 people or 20 or so, and almost every one of them had a different reason. And it's more powerful when it's just a single question being answered by a whole bunch of different people. And it was I'm just about done with that, so that I'll post that shortly. But I agree with you. When you get on the monetary topic, there's only so many people that have interest in that. They like the benefits of it. And ultimately, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and the manifestation of the love of money is usury. So that simple understanding is what, when you eliminate the usury, you can make money serve the people. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
Stop these annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Indeed, not to live in pain and fear. We are here to create systems which offer peace of mind to our brothers and sisters so that we can have abundance and create systems which serve us rather than enslave us. And Jason, I was interested to hear like how you approach creating videos that they're based upon how a benevolent monetary system actually would serve somebody that's interested in a particular issue. Is that the concept? So like hypothetically somebody's interested in environmental issues, you would right. show how the monetary solution would solve particular problems within the environment, for instance?
Exactly. And I just started this project, but basically that's the idea. I saw a lot of people, well, once I started learning about the monetary issue, I'm like, I don't care what your issue is, everybody should be like focusing their energy on this one issue because it literally connects with every single other issue. If you're concerned about corruption and money in politics, you're concerned about war, you're concerned about environmental damage, it doesn't matter what your issue is. This actually influences the problems that you're dealing with. So, that's the idea, is to make it more concrete, of saying, well, look, this is what happens. The bank gives loans to these people who then, you know what I mean? Like, it props up systems that the people necessarily wouldn't support, you know?
Yeah, it's, if we have a malevolent monetary system, it finances things that the elite value rather than things that the 99% values.
Right.
So is it, when you show that, do you do a contrast where you first of all, like on an environmental issue, I'm just using environmental just for instance,
yeah.
You could, number one, if you're using an international monetary system, it provides for the majority of our goods being brought with slave labor, lots of transportation fuel and pollution being emitted from products coming from China. It's not natural to shop locally or at a distance first. And then once it's brought to the United States, then it still has to be transported over long distances. So that would just be one environmental issue that I could think of off the top of my head that would change with locally financed industry.
Right. And, you know, there's a really great documentary out there called Life in Debt. Have you seen this one?
No, I don't think so.
It's about it's just about how international, like these trade agreements, NAFTA, it talks about Jamaica and how like the imported bananas are actually cheaper than the locally grown bananas. So that's like one example, you know, so you can show that, you know, I think people locally would prefer to buy the local bananas, but you know, you have this economic you reasons for not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the more local everything, it benefits your self-sufficiency, independence, it benefits the environment itself, it's more responsive and connected. There's just so many reasons to support a local economy, and what I've found is people, libertarians and, greens, just as a general group, almost everybody supports that. They prefer a local community. They would much rather do that. It's just they often cannot afford to, one. And number two, because they're on the perpetual rat race treadmill of debt, that they don't have time to. So it becomes a kind of thing that, you know, you're working two or three jobs and just barely making it. It makes it difficult to have enough time that you can even go shop at several places rather than one big box.
Yeah, totally. Are you familiar with Sergio Lube?
No.
You should have him on your show. He's really great. He actually created the first social networking site on the internet. It was called friendlyfavors.org. And it's another complementary currency that was created in the early 90s, actually. And it's a currency that's kind of one that we don't think about, which is, like, if you refer someone to me, I'm going to trust that person because I know you and I know who you are. And you know what I mean? You're a trustworthy person. So his currency is of thank yous. So you want to thank someone, you go online and you give them a thank you. And it doesn't really, it's not, you don't trade these things or anything. But what it is it kind of maps out social capital that someone has. And he got the idea because his family was from Russia, and earlier generations of his family had left Russia right before the war. There's fighting about to come to their area where they were living. So they had fled, and their neighbors had taken all their, converted everything to cash, took the cash with them. And then his family actually took all their gold and, you know, everything that they had of value and just buried it next to a tree. And after the war, the currency changed, so their cash was basically value. The family that took the cash, the cash had no value. Well, it took like another generation before his family could get back to the village where they lived, and they couldn't find where they had buried all of their valuables. And winter was coming on, and they were broke, and they were, you know, looking at starving to death. And then they remembered their grandfather said, oh, there's this house on this hill, blah, blah, blah. These people, they're friends of the family. You can go up there. So they went and knocked on the door of this house, and these people brought them in, and they remembered, even over, you know, intergenerationally, they remembered this connection, this social connection, this social capital that was built up between their grandfather and this family. And they brought them in and carried, you know, helped them get through the winter and helped them out. And his point was that there's another type of capital. There's a social capital between people that isn't necessarily measured and maybe shouldn't necessarily be, you know, traded or anything like that. And it can't be traded. It can't be traded. But it's another type of money. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that ultimately could be monetized to a degree. Like there's so much of the stuff that we do is just based upon what we have to do, and we've been kind of programmed that you do all these things just out of benevolence, and that it just because of tradition or socialization that they don't. But you know, people get paid to go kill. Do you know what I mean? If you're a professional military guy, you get paid to kill. So it's kind of absurd to say, like, for me, like, why shouldn't the emancipation and cooperation and benevolence, why shouldn't those things be rewarded somehow? You know, I mean, obviously they rewarded just, but if love was a currency, the world would be a whole lot better place.
Right. But it's not even that it's rewarded. I mean, it is rewarded in the sense of, like, me, I do a lot of things and help a lot of people out with different projects, and I don't get paid for, you know, much of it, really. But I do get rewarded in the sense that, you know, I get a lot back from the community as well. And, you know, there's a really great book called Debt, The First 5,000 Years by David Graeber. Are you familiar with this one?
No, I'm not.
It's really interesting because he talks about, like, the first forms of money actually were for trading with the enemy and for paying for things that could never really be paid. In other words, like a marriage or something, you pay a dowry or you killed someone, and then you give them something as a token of saying, hey, we know we really can't ever, you know, pay you for what happened, but this is like a token. So the first forms of money were for trading with the enemy and debts that could never really be repaid. It's pretty interesting. And he talks about this idea of barter, that was actually a fiction that was created by economists. In other words, there's no society that they've been able to find that ever operated on barter. So they always say, well, first we there was barter and people, but it got too complicated because it was exchanging chickens for cows was too difficult. And then they created money. Well, he's arguing that there's actually no evidence whatsoever that there's any society that ever existed on barter. That doesn't mean people didn't trade and do barter, but there's no society that was their primary means of exchange. And earlier communities, they didn't even use money. People just helped each other out, and people did what they needed to do. There wasn't really even money. Everything wasn't monetized and commodified. And it was really the creation of money came about when they wanted to start trading with the enemy. It's a pretty interesting book. You should check it out. In fact, you should have the author on your show.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I just viewed it just as you're describing, that barter was the first thing, and then you'd issue an IOU if you couldn't fulfill your portion of the barter under the timing, you know, if I was waiting. You know, you want my bread now, but your wheat isn't ready, so you issue an IOU that you're going to deliver the wheat once it's harvested. But ultimately, that's just a form of barter. It's just money was technology to make barter easier.
Right.
That just seems.
But he's
wild.
Arguing that's not really these early communities. That's not really what they were. They weren't, like, you know, keeping a close ledger of every little thing that they did, which is what money is. It's a way to, you know, monetize what you did. It was just that people, they kept maybe a mental note, oh, yeah, such and such person helped me out, and I owe them. And I think about my own life. I mean, that's I have a mental oath of people that I owe, people that have helped me out. It's not like it ever has to be repaid. You know, they helped me out of the goodness of their heart. But I've remembered that. You know, I know, oh, this person, you know, if they need my help, I know I'm going to step up and help them, you know.
Are you a keeper?
Gotcha. We got a break. We got be right back.
This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com.
Aloha, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are Mountain Hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can Mountain Hours benefit you? Mountain Hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain Hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain Hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because, one, it is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. Two, the money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. Three, the parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Indigenous wisdom, indigenous wisdom, yeah, reflections in the light. And I'm glad to be a part of your tribe and see the brilliance of your heart and your mind.
Word up. You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing left to do but come correct. You know what I mean? It's like you can only go crooked for so long before eventually you're gonna come full circle back. Yeah, so we getting our warriors, our love soldiers, and whoever really damn. It's a revolutionary stand when we get the people to chant. You get your people to chant.
It's the love revolution, and that's something that occurs, I think, once we abolish usury, that we will have much more abundance. And, you know, just like at any time in your life when you've got lots of money, you're not as focused on doing all of the accounting and really being super focused upon who owes you what or whatever. You just kind of cooperate and things just work. However, when you're into scarcity, then that's how we've lived all our lives, our parents' lives, their parents' lives before them. And when everybody's in scarcity, you know, every single dime matters. Don't you think that's the case, Jason, that we've been living under scarcity for so long, it kind of puts us in a state where we become hyper-focused on every dollar?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's been the worst bane on humanity for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I have a guy. if you could check him out, it's a realcurrencies.blogspot.org, I think is the name. In any case, his name's Anthony Michels, and he has a local currency in Holland. And one of the articles that he has is during the period when usury was forbidden. I'm not even saying that it needs to be forbidden. It should just be viewed as a Ponzi, and that people just avoid it because they know it's a Ponzi once it's exposed. So in any case, in those societies, that's when they built the great cathedrals, because the tradesmen had so much time. They only had to work 3 or 4 days in a week, and they would have a symphony, not a musical symphony. It was a tradesman symphony, and they would all get together and go to a big city, because they had so much time, and they would bring their skills such as marble laying or stone setting or being a mason or doing stained glass windows or whatever their particular skill was. In the same way that musicians come together for a brief time and form a symphony to show their unique artistry, that's what these cathedrals were all about. And they could do that when money was abundant, when the people weren't having a significant portion of their energy stolen from them via usury.
Right. And they would get repairs done. Imagine that, repairing something before it, you know, before it breaks down. It's quite a contrast from what we have today, where, and that's another thing, where everything's disposable. I mean, I deal with a lot of electronics, and I'm like, God, this is so wasteful, you know, from an environmental, but it's also frustrating because if they built stuff to be repaired and to be added onto, you know, our electronics could be, you know, much, much better.
Yeah, it's like they do that, you know, in the military. With different planes and tanks and those sorts of things, they build them so that they could replace the electronics and still maintain the primary platform. And right. That's what we should be doing with our cars, rather than making everything disposable. It's really a destructive force on the planet. That's another thing that an honest monetary system would support, where you don't have this planned obsolescence.
Right, absolutely.
So, where is, for the listeners, where would you offer that, what's a good place to follow up and that people can find your work and check out some of your documentaries or your events?
Well, if people want to email, they could just email me their information, and I can put them on my email list. My website's actually not up right now because I haven't had the money. Surprise. I've been but the email is argusfest@gmail.com, argusfest.org, or at gmail.com, sorry, not org. argusfest@gmail.com, and if they email me with interest, I can put them on the email list. I show documentaries every Thursday at the Mercury Cafe in Denver, but not this Thursday. They have something else going on there. But I bring in guest speakers in all the time, and I'm actually starting a new website called denvercommunity.org, and it's going to be kind of a clearinghouse for all the positive things that are happening in Denver, of people creating the world that they want to see. So promoting everything from local currency to local shopping to local to alternative transportation like biking and things like that, to urban farming and agriculture issues. I mean, pretty much anything that people are doing to create that replacement world that you've been talking about.
So that the email is Argus, is there a T in there?
No T. A-R-G-U-S and then F-E-S-T, like short for festival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's argusfest@gmail.com.
Okay. And I'm actually putting that right on my phone right now.
Yeah, and I can reach you through that.
You know, we've got a break. I wanted to ask you another question right after the break with respect to what part of town in Denver would be ideal for really focusing the local currency. We'll be right back.
All right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or REBA is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or REBA is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because, one, it is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. Two, the money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. Three, the parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back.
Supports righteous men. Why did the people invite these men to make newer policies? Somebody help me, please understand.
So the way that Mountain Hours and Mile High Hours works, the way that it gets introduced into the society, is effectively a local independent business just raises its hand. It's modeled after Argentina's Credito system. They'd have an enormous barter fair, and each individual or business that set up a table would be given $200 of the local currency. They would be given that along with the table, and then from there, the barter script would just circulate at the barter fair. And it could be used outside the barter fair as well. And so with Mile High Hours, we just need a local business to raise their hand, say that they want to, that they're willing to accept a portion of their payments in the form of the local currency. It could be all 100%. It could be half, whatever it is they are comfortable with.
They are then given $200, which is 20 hours of the local currency every 3 months. We do free marketing videos for them and logos and Craigslist ads and all sorts of value added, because we realize the more benefits that we give a business, they will join the barter network. And the more businesses that we have, the more places we have to spend, the more viable the currency. And whatever individual refers that business will also make one time 10 hours as a referral fee. So it ends up being a self-financing revolution. And I wanted to ask you, Jason, what part of Denver, if you know, we like the idea of having a concentrated area with lots of businesses using the local currency. That way people could go and, you know, go to a multitude of stores in a small space, ideally a farmer's market, but that gets cold, so it's difficult to have that year-round. But a year-round farmer's market would be ideal.
Yeah. Well, there's are you familiar with Colorado Local First?
No.
It's a website, Colorado Local First, and they're all about promoting local businesses. So that's where I would go. And they've broken it down into neighborhoods, and they promote local businesses. And I'm not sure who actually runs this site, but I see them promoting stuff a lot. And there's a lot of different businesses that they're promoting, basically trying to get people to buy local. So I think they're like-minded people, and the businesses that are on here, I think that might be, you know, sympathetic. I do a lot of stuff like on the Colfax, area. So like they have a, on the ColoradoLocalFirst.com/Colfax, you know, that they have a page with a list of businesses, in that area that are like locally owned businesses. So
yeah, like
that might be, that might be a good place to start in terms of like looking, like I sometimes show films at a coffee shop called Hooked on Colfax. And I know that they met with someone else about creating another currency, but I think there was some reluctance there. I think partially because they didn't quite fully get the importance of it, maybe. But I think that there are definitely some of these businesses on here, I think, might be a good place to start.
Yeah, it's interesting because I hooked on Colfax. That's where We Are Change Colorado has their meetings now. And they used to have them at the Mercury. So it's... there's lots of cross-pollination of these sorts of places. I like the idea of having it, in fact, on Colfax, on the currency itself, it actually has we have different images for different things we like to reinforce, and one of them is Colfax, and we have a small image of the Bluebird Theater and... I'm trying to think of the other two theaters on there. Robin will remember in a minute. But anyway, that's where, you know, lots of cultural events, concerts and stuff like that are on Colfax. So it's the kind of place, if I was starting a new business and I didn't have very much money, that would probably be one of the primary streets I'd go to start it on.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts for the audience?
No, I just want to say, like, I really want to encourage people to reach out to other people that maybe have a different perspective than you do, but that are sincere seekers, and try to reach out to them and try to hear what they have to say, and then also share what you have that you have learned as well to them. I think that unless we learn how to, you know, a better way of communicating with each other, they're always going to be able to divide and conquer us. So,
are there, like, where do you go to have, like, a, you know, if you're going to have a interaction that, you know, I don't like to preach to the choir all the time, so I normally won't go on sites that just agree with me. I like going somewhere where I can kind of push the consciousness forward in other groups. Is there somewhere in Denver like a Facebook fan page or something similar that you like to go for and have interaction?
You know, there's nothing terribly organized. I do it just on a personal level. So I go to different groups that are out there that have their own thing, and I insert different ways of looking at it. So, yeah, there's not really, I mean, there probably should be a more organized effort to actually bring these groups together. I just do it on a personal level. So I don't know of a place that's, like, actively trying to cross-pollinate different, you know, issues and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't know if, you know, in this initiative to join Tea Party and Occupy or whatever is if I labeled something like that as, like, let's say a Facebook fan page, if that would mean that both groups, because they're like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do, like if you're, you know, a Tea Party, I want nothing to do with Occupy. There's some people that will just avoid it just because of the name.
Right, and that's why I avoid even, like, even the Green Party. Like, I kind of avoid, like, I'll do stuff, and I work with lots of different groups. I've worked with, like, 9/11 Truth folks. I've worked with Green Party folks. I've worked with all kinds of people. I mean, even, like, Move On, which is more Democratic Party. You know, and I don't consider myself a member of any of these groups, and I don't even focus on the group. I focus on the ideas and the issues. And I think that's a way to get around that. I mean, on one hand, yeah, it makes it easier to market what you're doing. Like, even the 99% bike thing, you know, I have issues with the accuracy of some of these brands that we create. And I know that it helps to build some solidarity, but I also think there's a negative drawback to it as well, which is you can get pigeonholed. And so I personally just kind of focus on the values that I'm concerned with and the ideas and the issues.
Yeah, it's tough because everything's so fragmented to get people, you know, together and, like, because everybody, I think, would recognize it that we need to unite somehow, because otherwise
right.
We'll just remain divided and conquered. So it's just a matter of strategy of how you implement that. And yes, it's that's a big part of the challenge. And one of the big things is if we could just, once we implement the currency, and we just have to show some success stories, and that's what's so powerful, is to show some video of like, because it's not tangible. It's, hey, start your own local currency. But that's one thing, but it's a whole nother thing where you actually show people spending the money at those local businesses, and it's like a currency that like a local group of people just made up, then that's a paradigm.
And the earlier, you know, and it's more difficult for the early adopters too, because, you know, once it's established, yeah, everyone will jump on board, but it's just those first adopters that are going to have to take a little bit of a leap of faith that this is something that's going to be good for everyone.
Yeah, you're joining a system where there's very few businesses to spend the currency, but ultimately it didn't cost them anything. So what do you have to lose? You know, that's the mindset there.
Right. I was going to say one other thing too about, like, the whole group thing. Part of it's philosophical for me, because I look at who my enemies and my allies are. And I honestly cannot, you know, it used to be that we would define our enemies based on, and our allies based on, you know, religious group or nation, you know, or whatever. And to me, it's just like, those things are almost irrelevant. If someone tells me they're a Christian, that doesn't tell me anything about what they value, because I meet Christians that have completely opposite values as me, and then I meet Christians that share the exact same values as me. Same thing goes for, you know, any political group. If someone tells me they're a Democrat or Republican anymore, that doesn't really tell me that much about where their heart is. And so I think that we need to figure out new ways to calibrate and recognize who our friends and enemy are. And it's not necessarily based on what, you know, brand name group that they're part of. And it means rolling up our sleeves and actually, like, sharing what our values are and comparing it to what their values are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting, like you're saying, just on that same point, you know, you can meet somebody in the green side and they'll say, oh, local currency, that's an awesome idea, I can't wait to get involved. And then you'll get somebody on the libertarian to say, oh, that's awesome, we got to do that. And then likewise, you'll meet another green and say, no, my God, we can't create money, that would just be chaos. We have to use a centralized authority. And you'll meet somebody in green and like a libertarian saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of like an issue by issue basis that these things move forward.
Right, exactly. So it's more about like the individual and what their values are. And people's values don't always line up with their affiliations.
Yeah, the political party itself might have a platform that addresses that, but that individual might disagree with that platform
right.
on that issue. What do you have organized for your next documentary that you're going to be showing at the Mercury?
Well, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, which is, let me just look at the date here. I'm showing a film called Surviving Progress on the 18th at 7 p.m. at the Mercury Cafe, which is at 22nd California. And it's just looking about, like, what is progress? And, how much can we really sustain this level of consumption of the Earth's natural resources, be it oil or, natural resources for our products. And ironically, which is, we could be so much more efficient in what we're doing if we didn't have the same system that we have in terms of, like you said, the disposable nature of everything. So it's a film called Surviving Progress.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one. You've got somebody, like, I thought I was pretty well-versed with most documentaries on money and those sorts of things, and you brought up about 5 or 10 that I've never heard of, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, I've got a bunch more, too, I can give you. I've got one called The Spirit of Money, which is kind of interesting. I've got several documentaries, too, about money that I can get you.
Yeah, it's lots of information. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And it's one more time with the email address, if you would.
ArgusFest@gmail.com.
Okay, outstanding. Well, I appreciate you being on. Any final thoughts?
I love y'all. I don't know what to say. Just keep on keeping on.
Okay, well, sounds good. Thanks for coming on, Jason, and we'll get together soon and get pushing on Mile High hours, and I'd like to plan out a launch party for that here shortly. All right, well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I just met Jason at the last Wednesday was the first major debate between the puppet political parties, and the We Are Change Colorado guys put on an event where they basically went on to the Denver University campus, and we were outside there protesting, and it was really busy there. Like I don't watch regular TV that much, so I wasn't buying into all the theater, so I really wasn't paying attention. But anyway, it's just amazing, like, how much theater goes on. They had all sorts of military police there on the outside of vehicles. It looked like something out of the 30s totalitarian brown shirts, except they're all in SWAT teams, covered, their whole head to toe is covered up. Paramilitary, and just all for this enormous puppet show. Anyway, in the meantime, we were basically just trying to expose the fraud of the puppet show. I was dressed up in my Monopoly banker costume, and I had to those little puppeteer handles in my hand, and there were Jason Bauman and Aaron McMurray were both dressed up, one as Mitt, Bruce Bauman were dressed up as Mitt Romney, and Aaron was dressed up as Barack Obama, and I was the banker puppet standing in between them and just kind of manipulating them and having them stand on one foot and then jump up and down, kind of like that Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America. That was fun. And afterward, there's a concert by the Wandering Monks. And at the same time, at the top of the Mercury Cafe, the vice presidential and presidential nominee for the Green Party were both there. And that's where I met Jason. And there's so many people that are working hard to make a change that's substantial and meaningful, that if, you know, once we get focused and we can really, really just focus on the monetary idea just for a short period of time, you know, we can focus, if everybody focused on the monetary issue for, say, 3 or 4 months, we could fix everything. You know, it would be that quick. We just have to focus on the money. And then most of the other, a very significant portion of the other problems would kind of fade by the wayside. We'd have abundance. We wouldn't be in scarcity. And then the scarcity, that's what gets us into competition and fear. So we need to change those things. We'll be right back.
There's more money gold than there is in circulation. That's how the elite covertly murder nation. Ever notice how the struggle never ends? The rising cost of living, now we're all running thin. Inflation's an equation for permanent enslavement. Interest is the whip they used to hit us.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Again, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan is indicating that the private bankers are the sovereigns. We need to change that and make a different way for the people so that they have a monetary system that serves them. The people are the source of the energy. Think about it. you know, at its very core is the our most basic form of exchange is something in the real world, right? What exists in the real world, the tangible world where you can touch things, where flesh and blood individuals live. You have mountains and streams and rivers and trees and people and animals. That's the real world. So if we want food, I'm willing to work on your farm. I'll trade my time and harvest and in exchange for the food and, you know, harvest some extra food for others. So that farmer can then barter for, I don't know, a wagon or bread or some other individual in that barter network, whatever their specialty is. That becomes difficult when you need to time things out. So then we create a private contract. The barter itself is just a contract. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. It's quid pro quo. It's just a trade. It's a private contract. Then if there's a timing issue where something isn't available, then you can add a timing issue that the one contract, the one half of the contract will be delivered at a later date. These private contracts, these are just something that we invent in order to, you know, just record or memorialize our agreement. We can make these exact same agreements without the contracts. So then we have to recognize that these contracts, just like money, money is something invented by human beings just to make barter easier. And governments and corporations are fictitious entities as well. They don't exist in the real world, just like money doesn't exist in the real world. Contracts don't exist in the real world. They're just things that we invent in order to facilitate commerce. So that's what money was originally. And these contracts, governments, corporations, money, none of these contracts would have any value at all except for the people. And they're only as honest and valuable and worthy and moral as much as those individual people who are within those systems. So your IOU that you issue is only as honest or valuable as honest as you are that you're actually going to deliver and perform upon that contract. So we can develop an entirely sovereign society that is moral, abundant, has justice, and all of those things work perfectly well. We don't, since we are the source of the money, we don't need corporations, private banks, or governments in order to create money, because it's just a private contract. We can do this on our own. These are things that we can do. We just need to take action and implement them. That's what we're doing with MileHighHours.com. Check it out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love.